And here to rock chalk it up with us is Brian Haney, the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, every single Thursday with us at 9:30 at this time, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency in Beloit. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. That's not too bad. Your first regular season play-by-play game as a new voice of the Jayhawks, and you go to New York and knock off the number one team, and you do it in the final seconds. You know, I don't know if it can get much better than that, Mr. Haney. That's pretty cool.
Man, no kidding. What a night. You know, we didn't know what to expect when the first half was being whistled so tightly, and it was really hard for Kansas to get in the flow offensively, and Bill Self was having to juggle lineup conversations and combinations that he probably didn't expect to have. And then they really hit their stride in the second half, that 19-6 run fueled by Josh Jackson. We finally had some stuff to get fired up about. And while ultimately it was not a good shooting night for Kansas from the perimeter or the stripe, they were just 2 of 17 from downtown and really an atypical night shooting free throws too. Ultimately, guys like Frank Mason, Josh Jackson taking over, Udoka Azubuike with a career-high 12 rebounds when Landon Lucas was in foul trouble. It really was exciting to see. And even though that 12-point lead with about 8 minutes to go ultimately was erased, Frank Mason proved again he was the baddest dude on the block. And he comes through with an amazing finish. And who had a better week in America this past week in terms of college basketball than Frank Mason? If he's not the National Player of the Week, then we got the wrong guys voting for that award.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it was an exciting game. And I was talking with the guys yesterday when we were breaking down the game on the Sports Ticket that, to me, if Kansas and Duke play again, which if they do, it'll probably be a regional final or a national semifinal or maybe the national championship, that I won't put a lot of stock in this game other than it was a great win for KU early, tremendous win, but Duke's going to look completely different at the end of the year if they get healthy. And to me, Kansas is going to look completely different in the year because of all the potential. We saw the flashes of Azubuike. We saw the flashes of Josh Jackson. I think Kansas can be really, really good defensively by the time we get to the end of the year. Would you agree with all that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Bill Self has led the Big 12 Conference in field goal percentage defense in 9 of his 13 seasons. And the transition defense, I think, made strides versus Duke, certainly, compared to the previous game. And so they'll get better defensively over the course of the year. They'll get better in that phase of the game because they'll do it without fouling. It was interesting to talk to Coach the last couple of days. He really feels like, as much as it was a tight whistle in the eyes of the fans, and certainly Greg and I thought that was the case, although we were calling the game from the Empire State Building, we were so high up there, he felt like, honestly, it's on us. We got to play without fouling. We got to be less handsy. We have to be more fundamentally sound. He said there might have been a handful of calls that caught him by surprise. And if you watched his demeanor on the sideline, obviously he was challenging a lot of these foul calls because he's working for that next call, right? Mm-hmm. But you know, for everybody that has been throwing their arms up in the air the last couple of games because of the foul trouble that Kansas has been in, four guys fouling out versus Indiana. You had one foul out, obviously, on Tuesday night and four more that were one away from doing that. He actually thinks his team could be doing a better job in understanding some of the rules emphasis that are being put into place this year. Not a bunch of rule changes necessarily, but things that are being called a little bit closer with greater emphasis. And so he said that's on us, not on the refs. And I respect that stance. But, you know, to your point about them getting better as Josh Jackson and Udoka Azubuike continue to grow and develop, I mean, that's spot on. Look how much Udoka's improved just in the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Remember opening night, and by that I mean preseason opening night, November the 1st? He played 8 minutes. He fouled out. He was just trying to stay on the floor and learn to play without fouling. 2 weeks later, he's in the Garden getting 12 rebounds against the number one team in the country. So it's pretty remarkable how far he's come in 2 weeks' time. And like we told you when we started doing these reports, you know, way back in September, he'll be a different guy by Christmas than he was at Thanksgiving. He'll be a different guy by mid-February than you saw at the end of non-con play. And I think that's exciting, the learning curve that he's in the midst of, because it's a pretty fast ascent for him, for a guy that's only been playing organized ball for a few years now. And then Josh Jackson, you know, you saw his ability to take over the game at stretches there. At one point had 7 straight points for KU, and this was a big game for him. These are guys that he was recruited alongside of at the Mickey D's game. You know, Frank Jackson of Duke was the co-MVP when Josh Jackson was an MVP himself at the McDonald's All-American game. And while he didn't get to play against Bolden or Giles. He didn't get a chance to play against the full onslaught of Duke freshmen, of which they have four in the top 20. I think you saw Josh Jackson that wanted to make a statement that regardless of ESPN, Rivals, or Scout, I'm the best freshman in the country. This is the biggest stage in all of basketball, Madison Square Garden, and I'm going to go get mine. Now, there were times in that Indiana game where him trying to go get his wasn't a good thing necessarily. He tried a little bit too hard. In this game, I thought, especially in that second half, it was controlled. His assertiveness and aggressiveness was warranted, and he put KU on its back and you know, obviously took them from down 5 to up 12 at one point. So that was really, really encouraging. And you made a good comment about Duke being without those three freshmen, and I think Grayson Allen's obviously going to play much, much better if they ever meet up again. But I think Bill Self's comment on Tuesday night prior to the game is one we have to keep in mind. Yes, it would help Duke to have those three freshmen, and yes, you know, that would obviously have given Duke more depth when foul trouble started to become an issue with Emile Jefferson and company. But you can't play all 8 McDonald's All-Americans at once. And so if those three guys are going to be on the floor, 3 other Mickey D's guys weren't. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Kansas would like to think that, you know, they've got some options that, you know, would be much, much better in a rematch. So I do hope we see this one again. I hope Duke's at full strength. But if we see it again, it means it's going to be in Phoenix in the Final Four, unless something happens to knock one of these teams offline and they wind up in the same side of the bracket. But to me, there were a lot of positive takeaways, but as Bill Self said, Kansas will probably draw more from this win than Duke would have, because KU was staring down the barrel at 0-2, mm-hmm. and Duke's still trying to piece it together with a full, healthy roster.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. LeGerald Vick also, I thought, did a nice job. 31 minutes. He probably didn't think he was going to play 31 minutes going into that game, but with the foul trouble you alluded to, and then also Devontae Graham had to play virtually the entire game. LeGerald Vick, he had at times had to guard Grayson Allen, and then he had a key three-point play. He really seemed to be, I think he's starting to fit in and knows that he belongs with this KU basketball team, whereas last year he was trying to find himself.
I'm not going to sit here and call LeGerald Vick Gary Payton, the glove, but if he was in the studios right now and you were trying to walk across the room to grab that stapler off the desk, or you know, make a little quick breakaway to the copy machine down the hallway. This is a guy whose side-to-side quickness, his length, his leaping ability, I mean, it really is truly special. When Bill Self says he's a greyhound, when Bill Self says he's our best athlete on the team by far, that's saying something, because think about some of the other athletes on this team, like Josh Jackson, we just talked about a second ago, guys that are terrifically quick and long with great leaping ability. LeGerald Vick is the best of the bunch, and so what a pest, what an annoyance for Grayson Allen to try and fight off screens to get around when he's got that type of length. He's got the ability to slide his feet, to close out quickly on a shot because of that leaping ability that we talked about. And so, you know, this is a guy that I think will be able to frustrate a lot of premier perimeter scorers, not in the sense that he just completely locks them down, but just really is an annoyance because of all those things that allow him to stay close and pester you. And so it'll be interesting to see if that ultimately becomes his role, because obviously KU started out the game with Frank Mason guarding Grayson Allen for a lot of stretches, but Mason's given up 6 inches in that matchup. With Vick, he's looking him eye to eye and jumping over him in some cases. So pretty exciting to see what he might turn into on that side of the floor, when I think a lot of Kansas fans in the preseason were more interested to see, okay, well, how much did Vick's jump shot improve? Or, you know, what type of scoring boost can we expect out of him this year? I think the defensive contributions are going to be something every bit as interesting to monitor. And clearly in the second half, you know, that was a big, big key in keeping Grayson Allen down for as long as KU did.
Voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney, our guest every Thursday, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. I guess now, when you start the season with Indiana and then Duke, it's like, how do you get up for Siena? I mean, it's going to be at Allen Fieldhouse on Friday, 7 o'clock tip time. Certainly, it's a big game, first game that counts. It's at home this year. But still, I mean, that's one great thing about playing two really tough games early in the year. The environments, you're in Hawaii, you get to learn all kinds of things about Pearl Harbor. Then you go to New York for the 9/11 Memorial, and you play number one Duke, and you get an exciting last-second win. And I think there's a time, and this is probably the time, of course, to try to decompress and let all of that stuff sink in, because to me, that would be a little bit over. It's overwhelming to me just talking about it, let alone experience this as the coaches and the players have. And now, oh, by the way, Friday, likely you don't have a game right away after Duke, but you come up on Friday against Siena at home. It's, I guess I can see a scenario where KU might come out flat, or they just might not play that well but still win this game.
Yeah, I think you're on it there. You definitely would anticipate some type of letdown. The one thing that I think helps is, because it is the first real home game of the non-exhibition sense, mm-hmm. there's something special about opening night at Allen Fieldhouse, and for these guys that have never played in a regular season game at Allen Fieldhouse, that's going to be pretty cool for Josh Jackson, Udoka, Mitch Lightfoot. And so I think that has them amped. I think the fact that Siena just played George Washington really close at GW the other night, I know Bill Self was commenting on that a couple of times yesterday of how impressive that was, because that's a good George Washington team, and they barely won, ironically, by the same exact score that KU won by, 77-75. So Siena clearly has the respect of the Kansas coaches. They will make sure Siena has the attention of the Kansas players. And the home atmosphere with a lot of Kansas fans riding especially tall and high after taking down the number one team in the country, I think all of that will contribute to, hopefully, a fast start to the game and something they can sustain over the course of the full 40 minutes.
One last question before we get to our off-the-wall question, Brian, and that is the KU football team. They got a game against Texas, certainly had a golden opportunity to get a win against Iowa State. Didn't get the job done. Carter Stanley, I thought, did a decent job, a nice job, but in the end, KU loses. And now they've got Texas, and certainly Texas, a team that you don't know what you're going to get. I mean, there's times they've played really well. There's times where they've struggled. But one thing you do know is they've got an outstanding running game.
My goodness. Do you realize how far and away Deontay Foreman is running away with the Big 12 rushing title? I was looking this up today, and I had to do a triple take. He's the leading rusher in the league. We all know that, right? Mm-hmm. And most probably know he averages about 179 yards per game on the ground. You want to take a stab, and I hate to put you on the spot, but just know I wouldn't ask the question unless it was dramatic. Do you want to take a stab at how many yards per game he is ahead of the next guy on the list? Again, this is number one and number two rushers in the Big 12 per game yardage.
Ooh, I'll go crazy here. I'll say around 40.
Okay, go crazy and then double it.
80?
75 yards per game more than the next guy on the list.
Wow.
I mean that's how far and away he's running away with the league rushing title right now, which is pretty amazing. So Joe Mixon is second, by the way, 104 yards per game. So he's been terrific, and obviously you look at the offensive line up front. I think Clint Bowen and David Beatty both echoed this, that they're really impressed with Deontay Foreman, but got to give credit where it's due. Those five guys up front have been paving the way all season long, and so that's going to be a huge, huge challenge for Kansas, especially with a linebacking core that's been decimated by injuries. Coach announced the other day Anthony Elobi is done for the year with a torn Achilles at defensive end. So Marquise Roberts done for the year at linebacker. We already knew about Joe Dineen. That's a scary proposition. But Texas at times has underwhelmed this year, as we all know, with a 3-4 league record. And Kansas obviously will be juiced for senior day with 25 seniors playing their last home game. You just hope that they can get off to a fast start like they did versus Iowa State when they were up 14-3 early, and then build off of that throughout the game, because Texas is the type of offense that, you know, once they get rolling, running downhill with a guy like Foreman, you know, they can score, they can hold the ball, run the clock, and just really take you out of it if you're not careful. So that's why I think Kansas has to be the aggressor that lands the first blow and stays out in front of a team like Texas.
All right, look forward to that coming up this weekend. Time for off-the-wall question, Brian. And that question is this. Last night, the Major League Baseball Network, or Major League Baseball itself, announced the Cy Young Award winners. Do you know who those winners are?
Yeah, let's see. So I knew about the Porcello win over Verlander mostly because of Kate Upton's
yes.
about him.
Yes, thank yes. you. Thank you. Thank yes. you. We haven't rehearsed this, but you're already on point with me. So here
okay,
so here is your off-the-wall question. I want to make sure you were aware of the tweets by Kate Upton. And yes. I thought they were pretty funny, certainly not clean for me to read on air, of course. It might be, it would be, not might be, FCC violation to repeat exactly her words. But my off-the-wall question for you, after all of those tweets she put out there ranting about how her future husband-to-be kind of got the short end of the stick with, by the voters, I want to know what's the most clever, creative, funny, or meanest, you can pick whatever category, tweet that you've ever seen.
That I've received?
Ever seen or even addressed to you in a response
wow.
on Twitter.
Wow, man, that's tough. Clever, funny. There's a comedian named Rob Delaney who cracks me up with his Twitter accounts, and I probably couldn't quote specific ones for the fear of those same FCC rules you were talking about. But he has a way of getting away with it. But yeah, there's some pretty clever guys on Twitter. I'll tell you a guy in our local media that's a really good follow to bring it full circle back to KU. Mick Schaefer, who you know, Time Warner Cable, they
yeah.
just changed their name to Spectrum Sports, like Tuesday.
Okay.
So look up Spectrum Sports. But he is hilarious. He tweets about his kids, about his family, about life as a sportscaster. And it's just off-the-wall funny stuff in 140 characters or less. And so he's definitely the funniest guy amongst the Kansas media when it comes to the social media presence.
All right. Well done answering that question. Brian, we appreciate your time as always every Thursday, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency there in Beloit. Have great calls the rest of this week. And I know it's probably a bit of a challenge balancing the basketball and the football, but you do a great job and tremendous job calling that big win for KU in New York the other day.
Man, thanks so much, buddy. I appreciate that. It's a hectic time of year. We're going to call 4 games in 5 days, Friday through Tuesday. But let's hope that when we huddle up again next Thursday, we got at least 3 wins in there, maybe 4, and we'll have a lot to talk about, that's for sure.
That would be terrific. Get some rest, and we look forward to listening to you this week, man.
Thanks, buddy. Have a good one.
You too. Take care. That's Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks here on the Sports Ticket on KD Country 94. And Brian Haney's appearance every Thursday at this time, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle at 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. Stay tuned.